Craig.
That's right. I know, right? That's what I thought. Like,
God when damn it, Craig.
Yep. God damn it, Craig.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Slim into a Slap Jim. Zealous were doing that the other day. We just going on. It was fucking hilarious. Slap into a gym slap. Moonsault
is ready. Waka waka.
Waka waka doo doo, yeah. In Albuquerque.
I wonder, I just bet we should have turned left at Albuquerque.
Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
And Captain Ruggles Gaming.
How are you doing, everybody?
And for those that are unfamiliar with Captain Ruggles, he has videos on geekcastradio.com, so if you haven't watched any, check them out. Nice commentaries and fun antics in video games.
General shenaniganry.
Shenaniganry.
And not to bury the lead, folks, it's been... When did we launch... When did we launch Wars? 2011, 2010.
2010.
It's been a few years since we had a different Phillips on the GeekCast Radio Network, but Captain Ruggles is Steve Megatron's brother. So there is that. So it's a family affair tonight.
That is affirmative.
Yes. And he does all kinds of crazy streaming over there on his channel over on YouTube. What would you say are the three main games you play?
Right now, I would have to say, first and foremost, Imperium Galactic Survival. Fantastic space game. It has its issues, but it's pretty good for $20. The second one I would have to say is Far Cry 5, because, I mean, who doesn't love throwing shovels? It's fun and it's hilarious.
You throw shovels?
Yeah, you can throw shovels, and it's an RPG shovel launcher, and I've taken helicopters down with it. It's great.
Would it kill you to raise a shovel?
The amount of shenanigans I can have with shovels in that game, that's like all I use for the most part. It's great.
Shovel?
That's like me and the M-Law in Battlefield 4.
Yeah,
I used it as a sniper rifle.
Yep, definitely. And then
an anti-air missile.
Then I'd have to say the third one would be Crusader Kings 3. It's a medieval strategy game. You can be the Habsburgs if you want to, or be like them, or you can do other shenanigans and conquer the world.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to say you can be the Hatfields or you can be the McCoys.
When your family empire starts to expand, it becomes like that because your family, you do have a lot of infighting to be the king or emperor. It's great.
Well, you brothers would know. I'm an only child, so I don't have that luxury, thankfully.
I am sorry.
The reason I was a little delayed was because I had to break up my own children's of WrestleMania. In their bedroom, so
understandable.
I'm familiar.
10 o'clock at night, WrestleMania. That's about right.
But plus, I mean, we also used to get pretty ornery on our own, even as kids, because we were like, "Shut up! I'm trying to watch TV." Wop.
Yeah.
I think I did that to you, actually.
Yeah, you were trying to watch TV. I was trying to turn the GameCube on and.
Yeah, something I think like I was trying to watch Who's Line or something, and you were like doing something, and I was like, whop right on your leg, and you were like,
ah. Oh, yeah, big and black then, and blue mark.
And mom was pissed. Like, oh, yeah, she was so mad. She's like, what did you do? And I says, he wouldn't shut up. I was trying to watch TV. And she's like, guess where you're going?
You're getting your ass whooped.
Yeah, she's like, you're not watching TV anymore. And then you still got to play the GameCube.
Goddamn right. Super Smash Brothers Melee.
That's right.
I actually have those on my PC.
Kirby.
Yar.
Eat me. No.
Kirby and Donkey Kong. I always did a little smash the ground, you know. Nobody could get close to me.
I like doing that. Like I've had my kids play it a couple of times on our spare desktop. They're like, how are you so good? Blah, blah, blah. You're playing all against the computer. And I says, dude, I put them on level 9, all three of the characters, and have them all on one team against me.
And you're pretty much,
and well, I was Samus, but in Smash Brothers Brawl on the Wii, I play as Sonic.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he rips through the level. Like, I mean, you could run past them while they're trying to hit you. And then I can bounce in the air and then jump down with a speed kick into their face.
No survivors.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, yeah, they were like, this is brutal. And they played against me and they watched the computer do it. And I was like, you are done.
Kind of sounded like EA Sports. It's in the game.
Yeah. Or.
That's right. Headshot.
Unreal Tournament.
Uh-huh. I freaking love that.
I actually found my Unreal Tournament 2004 and Unreal Tournament 3 discs recently.
Oh, wow.
It's on Steam.
Oh, really? That's...
Yes, I have it on Steam.
Are you able to play against people online? I know we're going off on a weird tangent here.
Okay.
But...
I have not tried that. I have not tried that yet. I'm sure there's a mod for it.
Well, they used to have it so you could play on an Unreal server with other people, and that's where I found the most fun because I knew where everything was in the game, and I was legitimately like evil when I played. I had a skin that was Megatron, for crying out loud, like G1, mm-hmm. So I'd run around in robot mode. But yeah, I mean... I miss those type of games where you could do that.
Absolutely. Speaking of games, folks, tonight we are going to be talking about the state of video games in 2024 based off of two stories from last year and one story from this year. So last year in May of 2023, there was a story that came out where on the Gaming Bible or gamingbible.com. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was .com or not. Gamers are demanding playable demos before pre-orders after string of buggy launches. Now, originally, I don't think we ever got to this, but originally this was supposed to be talked about on the Dragon's Lair with Kai Dragon Media. We never got to talk about it, I don't think. That's why I saved it for doing this, because, I mean, playable demos? Like I understand why they want them, but why are they demanding them? Really, the demand.
Well, and
I miss discs.
Considering all the flops that have come out. Like, I've played Battlefield for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, the longest out of everybody who plays it in my family. And
I still play BF4 and BF1, but no,
I'm talking about Battlefield 1942. Oh, yeah.
I remember playing Battlefield, the original 2042 or Battlefield 2 or something with you. Like, it was back Battlefield in the day.
2.
Yeah, I remember playing that online with you long time ago, as well as on like the GameCube.
Oh, yeah, that was the prelude to Bad Company.
I think the only two Battlefield games I ever played was Vietnam and 2142. 2142 was before they did the
2042. I actually liked both of those. They're so underrated. Yeah. They're so underrated. My God. I mean, they came out with 2042, and the reason that one flopped was, among other things, they were trying to copy Call of Duty and Fortnite and all them other games, and then the last minute, they decided to scrap it and start over in a year and a half to go before launch. And they scrambled a bunch of stuff together to make just a multiplayer experience when they were supposed to make a single player along with what they had, and completely screwed the game up. It was a complete disaster. That's actually why I don't play first person shooters anymore, is because of that experience. I swore off Battlefield. I'm not even going to buy the next one because of it. And Call of Duty, you know, I played the very first one from 2003. Great game. But as time went on, after 2009, when the original creators of Call of Duty left and went to EA because of some conflict of interest and stuff, it just started to go downhill repetitive every year. They're releasing a game, And even now, you can go on Steam. Game's 10 years old, still $50, $60. Why?
That's ridiculous. Why? There's no reason for it.
Mm-mm. You know, and this is why gamers are so frustrated, because they keep going down, milking the same old IPs and going down the same old path. And even with Modern Warfare 3 that just came out, that was basically a glorified DLC sold for $70. They should just made it a DLC for like $40 add on to Modern Warfare 2 that they released a year prior. Would have made more sense. You would have pissed off less people.
Do you remember when they remastered Diablo 2?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. I was like, why would I buy the remaster to get better graphics, quote unquote, and a couple of little modifications when I still have it on my Battle.net account, the original Diablo 2 with Lord of Destruction on it, the add-on. Why would I pay an additional $60 to $70 for a remaster of the same game I already own? And, like, don't get me wrong, like, I love the fact when games do get remastered, like Mass Effect is a big one.
God, the Anniversary Edition? I got that just because of the fact I am such a big fan of that series.
Well, and that's my thing, is, like, I'm a big fan of Mass Effect as well, and but they didn't. I don't feel like they ripped your head off.
No,
like the same way that all of them did.
The price wasn't even that bad. I think it was like $60.
But you got all three.
But you got all three games,
and they were all remastered, and they kind of play together anyway.
Well, just like recently, Steam just released all the Command & Conquer games, all 17 of them, for $10.
Which I'm gonna have to go do because I just have picked them
up on Steam.
I had them. You don't have to go through EA.
You don't have to go through EA.
That was the big thing for me. It's like,
great. I had Kai be my test dummy on that before I even bought it.
Kai's everybody's test dummy.
Well, and I remember buying it for Black Friday one time with all 17 games, and it was I think it was like $9 or something on Origin back when they had Origin before EA Access, which is crap.
I miss Origin.
I do miss Origin, and it wasn't perfect, but it was definitely better than EA Access.
At least it functioned.
It functioned. I could play it like BF4. Like half the time, I can't get it to load. It'll come up with that Punk Buster thing, and I'm like, okay, I got to go re-download a 20-year-old piece of software every time I want to play it. And then half the time, it kicks me out, and I'm like, so what is the point even trying to play it anymore?
I had that same issue. I forgot what I did to fix it.
You have to go into the config file, like the system file.
Yeah, you have to edit it.
Yeah, and so I did that after a lot of Googling, but it was still ridiculous. Like, I'm like, dude, EA, you need to fix your software. Like, there's no reason especially when they're charging as much as they do. Now, I did the EA pass for like $35 or something one year, just so I could play like Pod Racer and things like that again. Because I have the disc for that, but it won't run because it was made for Windows 95 or 98 or something.
Well, you see, they just released all the old Star Wars with Kyle Katarn from the 90s. Did you see that?
I did not.
But remaster?
It's
on Steam.
I'm surprised. Yeah, and I feel like Steam is kind of the place to be. Like, I've gotten, let me load up my games folder, but I have the EA app for EA Access. I have the Epic Games Launcher. I have
me too.
I have the
Battle.net.
I have Battle.net. I have Arc. I have Steam.
I have Uplay for Ubisoft.
Yeah, I don't have them, but I do. Like, I've tried to go back into Battle.net. Like, I've played Diablo 3 a couple of times.
Oh, I uninstalled.
I as much as I enjoyed it back in the day, like, I feel like it's kind of a slog to go through anymore because they're like, oh, new expansion. It's like, okay, you played the World of Warcraft game on us with this, you know, this crap. Like, I don't know, I like games that, one, are visually appealing but also have a decent story going behind it, or enough that I can keep busy no matter how I play it. Like, for instance, Star Trek Online, I love the storyline. I love the plot. I love that it ties into all the different series and all the different films. But when the episodes are gone, the only reason to play is when they're doing one of the in-game events. And that's to get, you know, whatever the Uber ship is of the year or whatever. You have to play, like, all these 4 to 6 events all year, and then you can unlock all of these additional features. And that and the episodes are the only reason I still play it. I enjoy, like, the interface. I enjoy the game. I enjoy the fact that I can play it on pretty much any machine because it's from 2010, and they, of course, visually update it and add on things, but it's not... It's free to play, for one, unless you want to pay. But I don't feel like it's trying too hard to get the money out of you. Whereas, like, yeah. I feel like Unreal, and I feel like EA, like, they're like, oh, spend this extra. Like, buy this $70 game and then pay us another $30 for this add-on and then another $30 for this add-on.
Goddamn microtransactions. And honestly, all that shit in this nutshell we just talked about is why gamers want
old
playable
stuff.
Demos so we can get a little taste of what we're getting into, so we can decide, do we want this or no? Which is why I love Steam, because of the refund policy. You can play it for like an hour and a half, and if you don't like it, you can return it, get all your money back.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the best part about Steam. With it, you have to return it within 2 hours of gameplay. After 2 hours of gameplay, you own the game, you can't return it. However,
that makes sense,
which is fine, because if you try to do that on EA, guess what? They're going to fight you tooth and nail.
Yeah, they're like, you own it.
Yeah, you bought it. We're not giving you a refund.
Yeah, I remember back in the day,
I bought a game that Kai recommended to me because I like space games.
Oh, I remember
X4 Foundations, and I bought it and all the expansion packs, and I went to go play it, and I'm like, I don't. There was no easy way to learn how to play it. As I was bringing it up, there was no easy tutorial, none of that. It was all confusing. And I'm like, you know what? This is just too much for me. Closed out of it, returned it, got my money back. And then I went and bought the abomination called Starfield.
Oh, boy. That's a whole other podcast, folks.
That's a whole nother, you know, talk. But if we could just have a sample to play, like, Baldur's Gate 3 did it right. Now, I'm not a D&D fan, but I will give Baldur's Gate all the praise that they deserve. They did a fantastic job. What they did was they allowed everybody to play test the first, like, chapter, so to speak, for like 2 or 3 years. And they were fixing bugs and learning from it, getting the feedback from the community. As they were developing the rest of the game, they were taking what they were learning from people playing that first chapter to help flush out the rest of the game. So that when they finally did release it, guess what? You had a goddamn masterpiece, and everybody and their mama was buying it.
Yeah, you had a complete game. That's the biggest problem with games today, I think, at least, is
Do you remember, and this is dating us pretty badly, but when they used to have when they used to have computer shows.
Huh?
Yeah, computer shows, and they used to sell demo games on floppy disks.
Yes, they used to sell demo games on floppies and CDs. Do you remember the CDs that we used to have that were called Only the Best Games, you know, 99 or something, and it had 101 Only the Best Games, and then they had like a second one, and they literally had 101 demos on this disk, and you could play them. Like, you could install them, you could play them off the disk. Like, I mean, you had options. And
if you liked it, you could go find and buy the full version.
Exactly.
It was great.
And that was kind of my thing was, I loved those discs because it gave me the option to do, you know, to pick any of these games. Like, I learned about Commander Keen. I learned about, you know, Doom. I mean, a lot of these things.
I learned about the Sims.
Yeah. I mean, I played SimCity 2000 on it. And, a lot of these old DOS games, and while it was you know, very dated, it was still fun because you had the opportunity to test all of these different types of games, and it didn't cost anything extra. Like you paid like $7 for a disc and you just got everything.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I know this is like, yes, we are all old here, but unfortunately, I'm the oldest of the three of us. And in 1992, when I was 12 and Steve was six, I remember late.
I was one.
Yeah. And whippersnapper, get off my lawn. So in 1992, when Super Nintendo came out, I remember before I got it for Christmas that year in the malls, there used to be, this is way before demo discs as far as like PlayStation and all that. In Kingston Independence Mall in Kingston, Massachusetts, in that mall, there was a kiosk called the Nintendo Center. You could walk up to it and hold the controller and play, like, I think they had on their Donut Plains 1 for Super Mario World to test it out. And you could do that for, you didn't have to pay anything, or you just walk up, you play for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and obviously, in 1992, the Super Nintendo was gangbusters and everything else because it was the new hotness and all this and all that. And we just loved doing it. Every time I went to that mall before I got my own Super Nintendo for Christmas that year, I was always on there playing Donut Plains 1. I basically have Donut Plains 1 memorized. And then you go to, like you guys were talking about, with floppies and all that and everything else, then you go to, like, I think it was a Game Pro or whatever had the demo.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Game Pro is awesome.
Yeah, the magazines had the discs.
Yep. Yeah, you get the subscription. You get your parents to get you the subscription to the magazine, and then you get demo discs. And I remember playing Metal Gear Solid on demo disc, and the whole point,
dude.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
That's how I got introduced to Rainbow Six 3.
Uh-huh.
And Soldier of Fortune.
Mm-hmm. So I understand now in 2024, late 2023, 2024, why gamers are demanding demos. I just don't like maybe it's just the way the title of the article is written or whatever. Like, gamers demand playable demo. We're not really, we're going to ask because, like you guys have already said, some of these games that have come out in the last year and a half to 2 years have been crap, and the whole point is,
dude, I am literally bored with them all. I couldn't even finish Starfield. When I'm the only thing interesting about my role play in that fucking game, that's sad.
You're better off playing Pal World.
I'm better off playing Pal World.
That's right.
Or the recent success, Helldivers 2.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of people playing that too.
Service guarantees citizenship.
Oh my god!
It's a satire game on a satire movie. It's brilliant. I fucking love it. I'm gonna get it when it goes on sale again.
Nice, but yeah, I mean, game companies should be giving demos or at least be offering demo, like. And again, game companies, I understand the need for DLC after the fact, but don't try to sell, like you guys have already said, and like Steve and I talk about this all the time, and on the Dragon's Lair with Kai and everything else on Kai's show, we all have talked about this already plenty of times before. Don't try to sit there and sell us a $60 to $80 game that is not already complete. If I am spending that much money on a game for my computer to play, I want a complete story, whether it's single player or multiplayer.
Well, here's my experience with when they did the redo of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 that released in November of 2022. So in order to play the alpha and the beta, you had to pre-order the game. That was the stipulation.
Oh, crap.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
And do you remember? I mean, I got the alpha and the beta for Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5 and Battlefield, is it 2142 or 2042? That came out after
2042. But 2042, I think you had to buy it.
I think I still got the alpha. I think they gave me like 10 hours worth though.
Yeah.
To play.
But, you know, Activision's got to be the worst with their Call of Duty when it comes to this, because I pre-ordered it, and that was the last Activision game I pre-ordered. I no longer buy any of their products, but all the issues that we reported back to Activision in the alpha and the beta were still in the launch.
Oh,
and we're like, what the hell did you guys do the last 2 months when you're supposed to be fixing this shit? You know,
yeah, exactly. Like,
Jesus.
So Catherine Lewis is the one that wrote this article on gamingbible.com. And she goes on to say in this article that she thinks it's fair, and I agree with this, to ask studios to release a playable demo with at least 30 minutes of gameplay to showcase the graphics, performance, and general mechanics if they are expecting pre-orders. I completely agree with that, because like we've been saying, with the discs that we used to get, these free discs that would have a preset, again, like I'll use my own experience with Metal Gear Solid. I think the Metal Gear Solid demo only lets you get into the first part of Shadow Moses. So, you know, Snake is outside, he goes inside, he messes around with the rats and everything else, and he goes wherever, whatever. But lets you get through like that first area. And that was it. And that's maybe 30 minutes or less.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair to ask studios to do that, especially with of the problems that have plagued games over the last, I'll say, well, you just mentioned 2022, so I'll just say 2.5 years.
Well, and we've had, I mean, for one, there's, I mean, among other issues, there's been a lot of like, oh, we think this would be cool, or we put people in charge of studios that have done like, you know, Farmville, and we're having them do Battlefield, and it's like, no, two totally different, you know, franchises here, man. You know, that's not change all of the specs of the characters, you know, from the assault and the support and the, you know, all of that, like, to, oh, let's have, you know, Spanky here who looks cool and he's fun like Fortnite. And it's like, we're not playing Fortnite. We're playing, you know, we're playing war. Like, it's not... Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember like in the early 2000s and like somewhat up until like the teens of it, we had this time period of the demos that were on websites, like, too. Yep. Not just discs, like the discs you had to pay for, like the demos that were on the websites. Like, there was a website, Happy Puppy, and, you know, like Two Cows used to have some stuff. Like, a lot of these sites are just crap anymore. Like, they're not representative of anything good at this point. Even if they're still around, they don't do what they used to do anymore. But all of these sites were kind of the go-to places to get these games. And now that we don't have demos anymore, that they've moved away from all of this, like, we're sitting with these games that we're having huge buyer's remorse, either because the story sucks or the gameplay's not finished. It's not polished. They didn't do any, it's like they didn't do any research to see what people actually want. Instead, they just put out a bunch of crap. They're like, yeah, we're going to make money. It boils down to that underpants gnomes joke, like, that I always use. They go, step one, store underpants. Step two, profit. And it's like, well, what's step two? We don't know what step two is. You know, it's like...
A perfect example of that is the current state of, like, Modern Warfare 3, the way that they're... Because their game obviously flopped, and so in order to save it, they started throwing these microtransactions at it, right? Like, oh, you can get the boys skins and, you know, play as these, you know, superheroes from the Amazon superhero show. And then now they're doing Warhammer 40K skins and, you know, the zombie stuff. And it's just to try and save their failure. And I think it's wrong to try and do that to people. And it's theft, honestly.
And they know it. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
No, they don't care.
And as long as idiots keep buying it, they're going to keep doing it. Stop the microtransactions, in my opinion, and stop these skins. you know, I remember back in like Battlefield 4, all the skins and stuff, you earned those in game by completing challenges and doing stuff in the game.
You had to actually spend hours playing the game, which is what they wanted. Like nowadays, it's like, we don't care if you play the game, just spend the money. If you keep your customer happy and they're playing the game and they love it, they'll continue to play the game, which means they'll continue to dump money in the game.
Well, it's like, I think it all started when that last expansion pack for Battlefield 4, like for Battlefield anyways, it started the last expansion pack for Battlefield 4 when they introduced a couple new maps. It was after Final Stand, and they basically gave you the Phantom Bow in that forest map for free. If you just went and picked it up, you unlocked it. And everybody who worked hard to find those dog tags and collect those skins and then find the code and then go to that elevator to go down to that room to unlock it, we're just like, what the hell? We worked for it and you're just now giving it away?
Yeah, that's crap.
It's like, you know, that type of shit is what kind of pissed me off. I mean, the last good Battlefield was Battlefield 1. Battlefield 5, they gave up too early and abandoned it just to try and save face on Battlefield 2042.
Yeah,
now, and I don't do first-person shooters anymore because of all that shit.
Well, and I the thing is like, I would much rather waste my time on games that I know I'm going to enjoy at this point. Like, I have no ambition to go and play a bunch of, basically a bunch of nonsense games that, you know, one, and not getting political or any of that crap, but like, when they start taking the fun out of it, like in what it's supposed to be, and they're worried about, you know, the narratives and the what, you know, to try and be, I'm sidestepping
they,
here.
They shift the focus of the game game to like side messages that nobody really wants to care about.
Not historical. Like they're like, they'll throw things in too that, like, if you're playing a war game and it's like World War One, okay, some of this might be somewhat real, but as far as like what they're, you know, trying to achieve with it, but I guarantee a lot of what they've thrown in is just to placate people, and it's and it's not actually anything that's of substance or going to help the game. It's just extra filler crap because just to say, you know, to virtual signal, it's not putting out a quality product. They're just putting it out because reasons. Like, there's not, I would much rather see them, like, okay, if you're trying to shoehorn stuff in there, fine, make it make sense. Like, and then have a good story, have a good, you know, playability, have reasons to have the game. Like Battlefield 1, I felt like was, like you said, the last good Battlefield we got, which is why I continue to go back to it. Battlefield 5, I know that they fixed it later.
I picked it up for like $5 or $10.
I'm kind of waiting to see if that hits again. I may or may not ever pick that up. I've
only played it a few times. I can't.
The demo alone. I love World War II
stuff, but I just can't. Well,
it took 20 minutes to get into the game. 20, 30 minutes just to get into the game, because it took forever to get to the point. And then it was kind of glitchy anyway, and I don't have the patience for that. Like, if you're going to expect me to put all of my time and energy and money into a game, make sure it works and it's polished and it's, you know, it's one thing if you're coming out with like expansions later and you're like, yeah, you know, blah, we got this expansion, you know, $15, like, okay, whoopee.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But if you're going to be like, oh, pay $70 for this crap game that nobody wants to play because we say it's good, and it's out, and, you know, we'll fix it later. It's like the whole, the healthcare stuff. They're like, sign it now to find out what's in it later. Like, it's like, buy it now so we can fix it later. It's how about you fix it now, and then we get to the point here.
With Call of Duty, what finally made me uninstall that was every time I went to go on and, you know, I would go play with Dad, right? We'd go do Warzone and shit like that. And every time they would have a massive update and they like changing seasons or whatever or something, I would go into the game and there would be a new cutscene every goddamn time. And I could not for the life of me skip it. So I had to sit through like 4 or 5 minutes of this goddamn cutscene, even though in the main menu I have it turned off. It wouldn't let me skip it.
That's crazy.
Like,
that's like one thing they listened irritated. To on Star Trek Online. They added where you can, unless it's something extremely pertinent to the story, you can pretty much skip almost 95% of the story if you're just like trying to grind through or you're replaying missions to get certain things, you know, out of it. You can hold the escape key for like 5 seconds, you know, kind of like you do the space bar to get revived in Battlefield 1.
Right.
So they'll do the same thing. And then it's like, okay, you know, I skipped it. Thank you.
That's what I love about Imperion, because the game itself, the base game is $20, right? They had they've been around since 2015, but they were in early access. They released completely in 2020. They had their first DLC this year in February. You know how much they sold it for? $10. $10 for their DLC. $10.
That's the way it should be.
Was it good? I mean, the concept was good. It had a shit ton of bugs. It had its issues. But I bought it anyways, regardless, because I want to support, you know, the small dev team there. Because they're an indie developer. And their base game and the modding community behind it is why I play the game. It is like the all-in-one space game for you can make whatever ships you want, Star Wars, Star Trek, the Orville, whatever. You could it's in there. It's on the, you know, Steam Workshop. You can make whatever you want, fly it around. You can make a hot dog ship, an Oscar Mayer Wiener ship. There is one on there. You know? So you know, just stupid stuff. But you know, my idea of a perfect game, because I like space games, if they took Imperion, everything about it, and they took like Mass Effect and like let's see, Skyrim, and they just like combined all three of those ideas together to make one great space game with all the good shit from all those games, oh my God, you know how many people would flock to that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all Bethesda had to do when they made Starfield. They had so many space games to look at and see, hey, I could do that better. But guess what? You can't, because you fucked up. You spent 6-7 years on what? Nothing.
Well, Bethesda also used to have the rights for the Star Trek games a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they were somewhat decent. Like, I mean, they were, I mean, you couldn't customize stuff, but I mean, you could fly around a ship and, I mean, you could upgrade it a little bit, but I mean, you pretty much were just flying around doing missions in the ship in space. And that was kind of it. And that it was sufficient. It was decent. And I remember playing it on the PlayStation 2. After you kind of played it, though, it was kind of done. Like there was no replayability with it. So, I mean, in that essence, like they didn't really have anything to work from, but they've kind of made that their niche, like doing these type of space games.
Yeah.
The demo disc days are just crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know Steam did the demo type stuff with that, you know, where you can kind of have the option. So I'm definitely interested in that. But I also like Steam because they tend to put things on sale more.
Yes.
They have indie games, or they have things like you can kind of search, or if they're not available, they'll be like, oh, you can do X, Y, and Z, and you know, you can add this to your wait list, you can do, you know, whatever. There's options. Because I got the entire Arkham video game series
before they ruined it.
Yeah, before they ruined it. I got it for like, I think, $10 around like Black Friday one year, and I was like, woohoo, I can play Arkham again. And I had it on the Xbox 360, and I of course have a 360 controller, so it's like I can play it like I was before. I never did complete Arkham Knight because it kind of turned to trash halfway through, but I still played Arkham City and beat it to completion because that was more fun. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's funny how these websites kind of make it look like we're demanding demos, yeah. even though we're just demanding quality product. And if they're not going to do that, at least put out a demo of like the first level to let us see whether it's decent enough. Because, I mean, that's how they used to sell games back in the day. They used to have a demo or the first level or the first zone of a game, and then you beat it. And then it would be like, if you enjoyed this, you know, there would be like an ad page that would come up, and it's like, call this number and or email this link or whatever and purchase the game in full for X amount of dollars. Like, and you were like, okay.
I think it's now just a Nintendo of America customer hotline, but what you just said, I remember doing this for any, it used to be the Nintendo Power line for the magazine, 1-800-255-3700. I will never forget that number, because you would always call that, and then when Pokemon hit big in the late 90s and into the 2000s, it became kind of like the Pokemon game hotline type of thing. But yeah, that's the whole point of a demo, is that you are testing out, you are seeing if you're going to like the game, if you want to buy the game. And that's why, even though we paid for magazine subscriptions, the whole point was, hey, you're going to read the magazine anyway at some point, because like with Game Informer or Game Pro or whatever, you're going to find, or even Nintendo Power, you're going to find something in those magazines about games that you like that are either coming out or already out or whatever, and you get the free disc with the magazine, so you can have a chance to try whatever is coming. And like you just said about playing through one level, and then at the end it's like, if you like this, like you said, here you go, it's coming in 2027 or whatever, you know.
And well, and that was the nice thing with like buying like PC Gamer or any of these things, is they gave you some software, they gave you, you know, some games, they gave you, you know, there was a reason to pick it up.
Absolutely.
And then on top of it, like you got, I mean, it was no different than when you went to like GameStop or some of or Best Buy, and they had the demo discs and you could play it on the systems.
Before Google, I mean, that's how you found out your console commands. Through the magazines.
Yep, absolutely. And the one of the other articles that I have up here that'll be in the show notes, folks, is iGame demos are key to opening two main marketing doors and boosting visibility, explained by Chris Zukowski. And basically what he goes on to say in this article is, according to Zukowski, a game demo unlocks two essential main marketing channels, streamers and festivals. Getting access to them might increase both of the game's visibility and wish lists. So basically, your demo is providing content for streamers as they can show your game for you. If you don't have a demo, you have to wait until your full release before you have something that streamers can play. Again, going back to that whole thing of, like you guys were saying about the Steam thing, if you only play it under 2 hours and you can return it kind of thing. I think that Captain Ruggles here is the YouTube expert as far as his channel and everything else, so he can tell me if I'm wrong here, but if you download a demo off of Steam and you try it out as a new series on your channel and just say to people, hey, this is a 30-minute demo, or let's say you start a new series where I'm going to do 30-minute demos or whatever, and you do like 7 different demos, that's people getting to see games that they may or may not want to play.
Yeah. Well, and I've also seen some creators go to like games that have been worst ranked on Steam, because sometimes those devs will still be working on those games and people will forget all about them and they'll improve them. And so some creators will like, screw it. $15. I'll buy it. So they'll buy it and then they'll play it and they'll showcase it and be like, hey, look, since all these negative reviews, these are all the changes they've made, right? You know, I'm involved in one right now that's kind of like a sequel to Command and Conquer Generals. This entire dev team made this game in Unity, and it was so buggy, and they had a lot of issues because of all the way that Unity handles their management and their program. So every time they updated it, it would break their game. So everybody got frustrated and quit except for one guy. And he started rebuilding the game in Unreal. And I reached out to him like, hey, you know, I downloaded your game and you know, seeing you put it for free, so I played it, you know. I mean, yeah, it's broken as hell, and I can't really spawn any units and stuff, but so what's going on with this? So he says, well, I'm abandoning the Unity, and I'm starting over from scratch, learning and building it on Unreal Engine, and he's made a lot of progress in such a short time from all of his experience in Unity, but you know, when he has a playable demo, I'm going to get to showcase it on my channel and be part of that, because I sought out this. I was proactive, and I asked permission. That's a big thing. Ask permission.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And yep. If they say yes, they give you access to, like, a demo to play, you know, not only do you get first access to it, and get to showcase it, but they get a little publicity as well with it. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it just, in one of the other articles that we have that'll be in the show notes of why we're currently in a golden era of game demos, I guess we are.
Not the golden age of gaming demos, just golden age of gaming. Because yeah. all the golden games have already been made.
All the new stuff is crap. Like, I mean, there's a reason I play a 2010 game of Star Trek Online and they continually add stuff to it. Or like I play Command and Conquer Red Alert 2 is still one of my all time favorite games that I go back to when I'm just like,
oh, I get to play that again soon. I haven't.
I have. Well, I and this is the it. Thing. Well, I
it took like 3 minutes to install.
And this is the. Yeah, I know it fits on like a CD. The beautiful thing about that game is a lot of these old games, the abandonware, you can go to a website and play a lot of this stuff, but you can also go to the Internet Archive, which, correct me if I'm, you know, wrong, but isn't that run by the government?
I think so.
I think it is. But you can actually download old video games directly from them. Because that's how I got Command and Conquer Red Alert 2, because EA's version didn't work.
Yeah, through EA Play, it's broken.
Yeah, well, it used to work in Origin.
Yeah, it worked in Origin, but through EA Play, it's broken. Just like the problem that I had with Generals, it was broken.
Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I went the other option. And it was, and it's not, I don't feel like it's illegal, because it's not like I went and torrented it. I downloaded it literally from the Internet Archive. And if it's broken and it's not available, whose fault's that? Like, it's not like people won't pay like $5, $6 for an.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like you didn't own the game. You own the game on EA Play, but you can't play it because it won't finish downloading. Same problem that I had with Generals.
Oh, it'll download. It won't show the screen. I can see
Generals. It would get to like 98% downloaded and installed, and then it would just crash. It would lose its connection with EA server, and it wouldn't continue.
See, I have it. I have it downloaded, and I know that it worked because it played. And I've uninstalled it, reinstalled it. I've done the little hacks with the INI files that people have reported doing. It will load. I will hear it. I cannot see it. It will black screen.
Well,
every time.
Well, I mean, you're covered. You're not pirating the game because you already own it. You just can't play the one you own because it's broken.
Yeah, because again, they're too worried about getting money instead of fixing what they have.
Exactly. It all goes back to the conversation we've been having for years. I say this in almost every, whether it's Kai's show, whether it's one of our podcasts, whatever. All of these companies, I don't care what kind of company it is, they just want the new customers. They do not want the loyal. You know, you guys have been playing Command and Conquer since you were teenagers or however the hell long, whatever. Like, that's loyalty. Like, loyalty needs to be rewarded as a customer. Yeah. Like, end of story. Like, you know, don't just give the new people, don't just try to rake in the new people with whatever you're trying to do. Come to us and say, hey, look, we've been doing this for blah, 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 or we've been working on this, or would you like to try this, or whatever. Yeah, so, I don't know.
You know what I hate about most modern strategy games? They give you a unit cap limit. And it annoys the shit out of me. That's what I don't like the Tiberium series for Command and Conquer.
I like the Red Alert.
Absolutely hate it. I don't give a shit about Kane, his wrath, or whatever. I like Generals and Red Alert. Those two series are their best, in my opinion. And when they abandoned Command and Conquer Generals 2, I felt that was a big slap in the face.
Well, that's because Westwood Studios was bought out. But Red Alert 2, what I love is I like to army build. I like to build the biggest freaking army that I can.
Oh, yes.
And then send them in swarms and then surround them. I will literally do that for every game. Like, I don't care. Like, that's literally my favorite part is swarming the enemy base or, you know, building everything up to the point that I can just nuke them multiple times. But I don't know. Like, I feel like the fun in games has been lost unless you're dealing with indie. And the hard part is we don't have like alternatives that are well known for some of these AAA games. And that I feel like is a major disservice to gaming. I feel like they focus too much on these AAA games that are half built, half, you know, half cocked ideas that are ultimately trash. And there's all these nice ones that are indie that are under the radar that you just don't know about because they're not covered.
Right. You know what I just found out? There is a game called Earthbreakers, which is made by ex Command and Conquer developers from Westwood Studios. And it's basically a spiritual successor to Command and Conquer Renegade.
Oh, wow.
I will send you the link.
It's on Steam.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I think it's on Steam.
Yes, yeah, I think it I is. Found it.
Petroglyph Studios?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go and check that out.
It's still a strategy game and it's a third person shooter.
You know what's funny? Looking at the graphics, the menu system on the right looks exactly like Command and Conquer, but it's green instead of blue.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hilarious. I'm so in favor of this.
That's awesome. And wow, Westwood Studios, damn you, EA. What the hell, man? EA.
Yeah, the Command and Conquer Remaster Collection is $20 on Steam now.
I got it for $10 yesterday.
Maybe it depends on which versions you get. Although they're listed as Petroglyph Games. So I wonder. But yeah, I'm so in favor of like anything that can replicate the old stuff without taking away from it necessarily. Like, what's that studio? They closed down.
So the Command and Conquer Remastered Petroglyph Games was also involved with that.
Okay.
Just like it was at Lemon Sky Studios is another iteration. The Command and Conquer, the 17 games is still $9.88 on Steam.
I'll have to look for it. I wonder if it's not the remastered collection.
No, it's the CNC Ultimate Collection.
Okay. Because that's all I care about.
That's all you care about. Yes, folks. Playable demos do matter.
I'm sorry. We just keep going off on a goddamn tangent.
Hey, no, it's all right. That's what the show's for, right? But yeah, man. Just again, well, I don't blame some of this article that you know we're going off from 2023 here. The gamers are demanding play. No, it's not really. Like, I think the problem, and that's to get them to get clicks on their website and whatever and all this and all that and everything else. But, like, no, we just want to be able to, again, obviously there's a huge difference between game testers and then demos. But still, game demos were still, hey, let's give it to the players first. Let them figure it out. And let them let us know if there's anything that we missed.
That's I'll be the back. Thing. I gotta let my dog out.
All right, no problem.
Graduation ceremony will commence at 1200 hours. Attendees, please confirm you have clearance for departure.
You are part of an enduring tradition. For over 200 years, men and women have served with honor, courage, and wisdom. Our first duty has always been to the truth, the guiding principle that defines us. From the stars, knowledge. To wear this uniform is to continue a most noble mission.
Welcome aboard, Lieutenant.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no one has gone before. In this dark hour, you must shine. You must light the way for the lost and oppressed. The final frontier awaits. And though you sail a ship upon a sea in storm, you wear the uniform. You carry the tradition. Valor and sacrifice are your watchwords. Whatever comes, whatever finds you, stand tall, hold fast. You are a Starfleet officer.
Lieutenant Yoshi, alert Starfleet. We have engaged the Borg.
We are the Borg. Resistance is futile.
They used to have Unreal Tournament 3 on here.
Huh?
On Steam. But it's no longer available. But it says the title is currently unavailable and will be available in the future. But I've been seeing that for a long time with all of the Command and or the Unreal Tournament series, which kind of sucks.
Yeah,
I have the Arkham City full on game. I don't have Arkham Origins. I have Arkham Knight, but I don't care enough. They have the Mega Man X Legacy Collection, which I've thought about, just because I liked Mega Man X. Do you remember DC Universe Online?
Oh, yeah.
I used to play the crap out of that around the same time that Star Trek Online went free to play, because they did too. And I was like, oh, this is cool, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I started playing it and I was like, this is way more difficult than is needed. To play this game, and I was like, I'm good. I don't care to ever play this again. And what's funny is the Mega Man X Legacy Collection, I have them all. Like the first collection, Mega Man X 1 through 4, I have them all on my computer. From, like, ages ago.
I only ever played the first game. I never played the others.
I like the fourth one, because you get the Nova Strike armor. I've thought about, like, they have, like, an Ultra Star Trek bundle from Interplay, which is another studio that's kind of gone. Their games were total trash looking, except for, like, Starfleet Academy. But I have, like, I would get them, but I have no ambition to ever play those again. Because they're so bad. Like,
yeah,
they're
you don't want to pay money for bad games. That's the
Now, Mega Man X Collection 2, I would be somewhat tempted because they have X5, 6, 7, and 8. And X8 was insanely difficult, but fun. Like, I loved playing that game. And I had it on my, GameCube. Either that or my PS2. It was one of the two. I think it was the GameCube. It was a lot of fun, but I can't see ever sitting there long enough to play it. Like, I don't have the mental dexterity to sit there and do that. Multiverses, that was another one that I got to review. And see, that's what the thing I love when I get to review a game, because not only do I get to play for free, but I also get to kind of see, I kind of get to see, like, something, you know, before it's, like, kind of mainstream, you know. The Multiverses was, like, DC's attempt to do a Smash Brothers or Warner Brothers, and it was fun. It was not as intuitive or easy as Smash Brothers. And so I feel like it failed there. But what I liked about it is you had Kevin Conroy as Batman. You had, you know, George Newbern is Superman. You had, you know, the Scooby-Doo characters. You had multitudes of other Warner Brothers characters. And I I think it's hilarious that they launched, or they're actually not even launched yet. This release date was July 19, 2022, but Steam doesn't have, it says Multiversus launches on May 28th, 2024. So I wonder if they took all of the feedback from a couple of years ago to actually make it good.
Potentially.
I'm hoping, because that was, I mean, I would love to play with Kevin Conroy's Batman character in the game.
That would be cool.
It's going to be free to play and cross play, but I'm hoping it doesn't need to be online to play, even though I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah. That's just crazy. Like, if you, again, you buy it, going back really quickly to kind of wrap this up. Cool. But, like, you know, that was the whole thing. Whether you buy a demo disc or whether you get a free demo disc, you put it in your computer, you put it in your system, whatever. You don't need online, unless it has an online multiplayer. That was the thing back then, was they were all single-player games.
Mm-hmm.
And if DC Universe Online or Arkham, whatever, insert whatever, Batman, whatever, with Kevin Conroy you want, if it's just a disc, what do you need online? You don't. You shouldn't.
I wish things didn't have to be online, to be honest. I'm so over it. I don't even care anymore. Like, I'm so done with being online to play a game. I just want to play it offline and enjoy the game.
So, I think we should start wrapping it up, man.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Ruggles, is there anything that we missed? Is there anything that you want to say? Is there anything about the demos and the whatever before you start going through all your plugs?
New.
He's tired, folks. We're all tired. We're old men. Why are we up at midnight? Stop it. It's not midnight. It's close.
I gotta be up for work in like 5 hours.
5 hours, yeah. Yeah, well, that's the way we roll around here with one of the brothers living in the mountain time zone.
Yeah, it makes it difficult to record.
It does.
You know, it'll figure it out. Always do.
But
Pixels in the Animation is wrapped on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, TFG and Mike and TV's Mr. Neil head to Hyrule. That's right, listeners, from episode 16 through episode 20 of PETA, Pain in the Ass. We will be covering all 26 episodes of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Excuse us, podcasters. You can catch Pixels in the Animation every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
So you have nothing to plug before we get out?
What do you mean nothing to plug?
Well, I'm channel, saying
all that stuff.
Do you have any games you're playing or anything that you got coming up? That's
I never heard that term before.
Okay,
interesting.
No, yeah,
must be living under a rock.
It's promote a podcast yourself, term. Essentially. Yeah,
it's but, a podcaster term.
Yeah, visit. YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or just YouTube search Captain Ruggles Gaming. My channel should pop up. I got some interesting things coming up. I am currently playing Empyrean as usual, but I do have a server that we're going to be having at the end of the month, which is going to be fun. I'll be doing channel memberships soon, so that's cool. This Friday, I actually played Left 4 Dead 2 with over 20 mods, because me and another creator were trying to break the game. And all I gotta say is Terry Crews makes Left 4 Dead 2 very terrifying. So it's gonna be hilarious. But of course,
I look forward to it.
Yeah, Friday at 11 a.m. it drops. It's a hoot. I also got more roleplay for Far Cry 5 coming out next couple weeks, as well as some more tutorials for Empyrean. So other than that, rocking it out.
Awesome.
Before we get out of here and Steve goes through the closing, I did want to say, folks, the next episode for Alter Geek that we're going to do is something we planned on doing last year. We are going to go through BTAS, A Legacy of Voices Remembered, because when Kevin Conroy passed away a couple years ago, it just made me think of all of the people that voiced voices in Batman the Animated Series that are no longer with us. So we are going to be celebrating their legacies next time.
Yep, yep, yep. So remember, if you like what you hear, to subscribe to the show on all the various platforms of podcasting, such as Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, which I think became YouTube Podcasts, Spotify, and yeah, you get the picture. So search Altered Geek, and I'm fairly certain you'll find us there. Or if you want to make your job a lot easier, go to geekcastradio.com and listen there. So thank you, as always, for listening to Altered Geek. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
What you doing with that shovel, buddy?
I was in Philadelphia!
And brother, when they call you, you'd better... now can we cut? You smug son of a...